And now, unprecedented access to one of America's premier motorsports organizations. SiriusXM NASCAR Radio's Dialed In with Claire Bilain and Roush Fenway Racing invite you to come inside
Jack's Garage.
An exclusive behind-the-scenes look at Roush Fenway Racing.
Before the cars hit the track
and the crews hit the pit, everyone convenes in Jack's Garage. Here's Claire Bilain. Welcome to Jack's Garage.
Jack's Garage tonight, man. I like Nick Sandler. He's the director of engineering for Roush Fenway Racing. You remember him mostly as a crew chief for Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and he has moved up to be director of engineering. I thought a little engineering 101 would be great before we start the season. And I like Nick Sandler, and he's always been good to me if I have a question, an engineering question or anything related to what's underneath the race car. If you have an engineering question, 866-PIT-LANE, 866-748-5263. Good Lord, I have enough of them. But, you know, sometimes people are like, why didn't you let me ask? I had something that I've never been able to figure out. And if you ever do that, feel comfortable calling in, and you can talk to Nick Sandler too, because phone lines are always open. 866-PIT-LANE, 866-748-5263. If you have a question related to the engineers and what they do in NASCAR, let's welcome Nick Sandler. Nick, how are you?
I'm doing great, Claire. Thanks for having me.
Well, I haven't had you on Jack's Garage for a while, if ever. I've done a lot of interviews with you, but I thought it'd be great to start the season chatting with you. And why don't you give us, to start, kind of a 101 as to how many engineers that there are at a team like Roush Fenway Racing, and we'll start there. And we'll have people asking questions. I can see the phone lines lighting up. The producers will queue up the questions, but I have a bunch of them myself. Just set the stage for this, okay?
Yeah. So we have about 35 engineers at Roush Fenway. And, you know, we sort of focus on all sorts of disciplines. We've got aerodynamicists. You know, we have our race engineers that travel to the track and work on vehicle setups. We've got vehicle dynamicists. We have folks that focus on statistics, and we have design engineers. It's a pretty, you know, the spectrum of building race cars is pretty broad in terms of all the sort of engineering disciplines we have to touch. So it takes quite a few people.
Will there be some things that you will be focused on differently in 2018 in the engineering group at your race team?
There are differences just due to rules changes during the off season that we're focused on right now. But sort of, I guess, bigger picture than that, you know, we're still focused on improving our mile and a half program. You know, we feel that we certainly were pretty strong on the super speedways. We made some gains on the short track program. We made some gains on the intermediate racing, the mile and a half stuff, but we're not where we want to be there. And that, you know, several years ago at Roush Fenway, that was kind of our bread and butter, and we got to get back to being a little bit stronger there. So we're focused pretty hard on that.
Do you miss being a crew chief? How have you liked the engineering job? Director of engineering.
I do miss being a crew chief. It was certainly a big change the first few months after the switch for me, just the adjustment. I think, you know, the part I love about it is being at the track on the race weekend and the competition and the competitiveness. And so being away from that at times was definitely a challenge. But I have grown to really like this new job. I get to really focus on the race cars and trying to make them faster every day. I really enjoy that. That's my passion.
Are you ready to take some calls from the listeners on Jack's Garage, engineering type questions? Are you ready for that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I hope I can answer them.
I hope so too. Don't let me down. Let's go.
Yeah.
You won't. I know. Let's go to Jeff in Colorado. Jeff, you're on with the director of engineering, Nick Sandler, for Roush Fenway. Go ahead.
Hey, Claire. How are you?
Good. How are you?
It was great seeing you at the races this summer. My question is this. It kind of stems from the new nose that Toyota brought out this year. the Ford nose in particular is like having a flat bottom skiff on the water. It's very slippery, and it could go as easily forward as it can go side to side. However, on the mile and a half tracks, the ability to plant that nose with aero and not just mechanical grip is something that Toyota showed us. And that X on the front of the nose channels the air and creates a greater amount of inertia when it comes to moving the nose side to side to overcome that inertia.
Right. The Toyota nose that came out this year and the one that Chevrolet is going to be racing in 2018, we've been paying pretty close attention in the Ford camp to what those folks are doing. It is definitely very different than what we have, and we're hard at work figuring out what that is and how it can make our cars better. So we're definitely paying attention to it.
It's pretty interesting because there's a lot of study as to how things are looking in the Toyota camp. Talk about the competition between the manufacturers when it comes to engineering, because he alluded to it very specifically, but give us a broad base on that.
Yeah, we obviously, I spoke earlier in the show, having 35 engineers on staff. I think to some people that may seem like a lot, but if you think about the Ford Motor Company as a whole, who is our biggest sponsor, we rely on them an extraordinary amount for support engineering wise. You think they have thousands of engineers on staff, and it's we rely on them to really do a lot of the hardcore development, they provide a tremendous amount of support to the teams, the manufacturers do.
All right, let's go to another caller. It is Mark in Florida. Go ahead, Mark. You're on with Nick Sandler.
Hey, guys. In general aviation on single-piston aircraft, you see it all the time that there's a manifold pressure gauge that tells you exactly what's going on inside your engine. And I've never heard that applied to racing. And I figure, at least on the plate tracks, when you guys, back in the days when you used to test, has anybody ever rigged a manifold pressure gauge up to a race car?
All right. Now, we got rocket scientists that listen to this show, and that's a good thing. Nobody knows because I'm the Wizard of Oz behind the scenes. You're going to have to repeat the question because we lost Nick Sandler, and he did not hear your question. We've got him back on the line, but we lost the communication with him. He's now back on. Repeat the question only because it would be fair. He's going to answer it, not me, and he hasn't heard your question.
All right. In general aviation, in single-piston aircraft, one of the most important things that you look at is your manifold pressure gauge that tells you exactly what's going on inside the engine. And I've never heard this in a racing context, particularly on plate tracks, that would be an invaluable piece of information to have. In the testing phase or when you guys put these on a dyno, have you ever heard that applied to racing?
Yes, absolutely. That is one of the sensors that we have in our EFI system and the engine shop when they do all their mapping. They certainly rely on it. For us, when we go racing, it does make a difference. I mean, particularly when you talk super speedway racing and running in the draft and with the restrictor plate, we do pay close attention to it.
Very good question. What is your, when I think about your role, let's talk about the role during the weekend. You're directing the engineers. Each team, the engineers are in, a lot of people don't know this, they're up in the lounge, they're in front of their computers most of the weekend. What does the weekend look like for the engineers? How much are they concentrating on certain aspects of it? And just talk about their role on a race weekend and your role on a race weekend.
Yeah. So if you think about the team engineers, the ones that are at the racetrack as part of the team, their role is really working on setups and handling balance and trying to get the car driving to the driver's liking, one, and also just working on getting more speed out of it. So that's their primary focus, as well as things like race strategy and tire management and also competitive analysis. So really, like, taking your lap times and your driver inputs and things, and comparing them to your competition and seeing how you stack up and what improvements you can make. As for me, sometimes my race weekend role is a little more big picture. It's trying to figure out where our strengths are, where our deficiencies are, and what we need to work on, as well as paying close attention to what our competitors are doing.
The role of the engineer is interesting, because sometimes engineers will dream up things. Then there's the convincing part, right, where you have to sell it, where the engineering group has to sell it to the race team or to the crew chief. Does that still happen with, we've moved to more of an engineering-driven sport. But over the years, the engineers still had to sell what they had to the teams.
Oh, yeah. The salesmanship's a big part of it, for sure. It's sometimes the best ideas are big departures from what the norm is. And so sometimes it's really difficult to get folks to buy in and to make some changes. And it takes pleading your case. And then the other side of that is that there's plenty of times when you plead your case and you're wrong. In racing, there's just tons of variables in there. So a lot of the times when you think you finally understand something, you find out that you don't understand it as well as you'd like. So
that's a really good point, because it could be very frustrating too. Let's go to Scott in Maryland. I'm with Nick Sandler, Director of Engineering for Roush Fenway. Go ahead.
Oh, good evening, and thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to ask a couple of quick questions for an engineer. Number one, how do you do anything with aerodynamics if they have all those templates? You're talking about all these engineers and aerodynamicists, but you guys have to go through the templates, so I don't understand how you can change anything. And the second question is, how do you change ride height?
Yeah. All right. So the aerodynamics question's a good one. We do have templates, and they hold us to a tolerance that is, NASCAR can't expect us to be basically building cars that are exactly to the manufacturer CAD. It's not feasible from a manufacturing standpoint. So there is some tolerance there, which allows us room to do some manipulations to the shell of the body. But a lot of the development work that we do on the aero side is under the car. It's shifted quite a bit that the underbody aerodynamics play a really big role in what we do. And that's where a lot of our wind tunnel development goes. It's a little bit less regulated by the officials. And so there's a little bit of, there's more scope at times to work there than there is overbody. So a lot of it you don't see, but it plays underbody and ground effect aero play a really big part in cars like ours that travel, our mid-corner speeds are at times 175 miles an hour plus, which is really high, even if you look across other forms of motorsports.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Second question. What's the second question? Go ahead.
The second question was about ride heights and how we adjust them. And that's really, there's a couple ways. So basically the travel of our cars are limited by the springs. And we have, four springs, one at each corner, like your passenger cars would, as well as what we call bump stops on the front that are basically travel limiters that go on the shock. And so we can adjust the ride heights by varying spring rates with all six of those springs, as well as adjusting the preload on all those springs. So basically when you hear us talk about taking rounds in and out, for example, on a pit stop, that's basically loading and unloading the spring, or raising and lowering the car is one way to think about it. It's basically spring rate adjustments and preload in those springs are how we move the cars up and down. And that's it actually gets back to your first question too. One way that we affect the aerodynamics a lot are by working with ride heights, because the cars are very ride height sensitive as well.
I knew you'd be great at this, Nick Sandler. One more question. We'll take one more tonight. Everybody can't get in, but let's get to Glenn in Colorado. Go ahead, Glenn.
How you doing? Here's my question. As common practice for dentalers, has anybody ever thought of using an active grill shutter on the front of it controlled by the driver, or is that even legal in NASCAR?
I know that people have thought about it, but it is not legal.
Okay.
It's a great idea. I mean, honestly, I would love to have something like that where you could, where you could adjust it and keep your temperature. It actually goes back to the previous caller's question. You know, the more tape you have on the front, the higher your engine temperatures are, but the more downforce you make. And so we're always trying to max that out. If we have an engine temperature limit, we're trying to run right at that limit because that's the highest downforce. And so if we had an ability to sort of actively control that, it would be fantastic.
Great questions tonight. I really appreciate you coming on. I do want to ask you to wrap kind of what is it that you're most thinking about in 2018? Not so much for Roush Fenway, but on the engineering side, what are your thoughts that are questions? What do you not know? What do you think will be the most fascinating part of all of it in 2018 from your perspective, Nick?
It's a really good question. I think one of the ones that's immediate for us at the moment, it has to do with a lot of the changes on the officiating side. There's a new system for controlling the body shape of the cars that NASCAR is implementing called the Hawkeye system, which is actually replacing the template grid that everybody's used to seeing. And it's going to be much more, it's got much more control, much better process for measuring the external shape of our bodies. And I think that's good. It puts us in, it puts us in a much tighter box as far as what we build. It's going to make more parity in terms of the competition. It's going to make it easier for the officials to enforce it. I think all that's really good. One of the challenges that is interesting to me is how do we control our tolerances when building cars now to a much greater degree? And so that's something that is interesting to me and something that I'm paying close attention to.
We got to do this again, Nick. I know you'd be great at this. You're just like hitting it out of the ballpark. Great questions tonight. Don't you think they ask great questions? We got rocket scientists listening. I know. And you gave great answers. I really appreciate you being on tonight. And I know you're getting excited for the start of the season, right? Are you ready to go?
I am. But it's always, it's crazy. The off season starts and you feel like it's going to be a time to relax and gather your breath after the season. And it's never like that. It's a time when you bite off a lot of big projects that you can't do during the season, and then you find out that, you know what, Daytona's really not that far away, and all of a sudden it's upon us here, and we've got a ton of work to do.
Last thing, and I need about a 30-second answer because I do have to go to break.
Yep.
What about the tire test, and where you get your information from the teams that went to the tire test from your camp? How much do you download off of it? How much do you hear back when it's a Goodyear test?
We when it's not a team that's affiliated with us, we typically don't get a lot of information back. That's just sort of the way the testing policy in this sport works, that when you get to go test, it's good for you. And when other folks go test, it's good for them. And then you sort of have to overcome that on race weekend. We have to be a little more savvy when we go to those tracks that we haven't tested at to sort of catch up in the first couple practices.
Good answer. That was 30 seconds on the dot. I will see you. Well, I'll see you at Roush Fenway on my rounds over there before I see you at the racetrack likely. But great job tonight, Nick. I just had in my heart you'd be good at this, and you were. Thank you for coming on, and thanks for agreeing to take some calls from the fans. That was really cool. Appreciate it, okay?
All right. Thank you very much.